Love and grace. This is going to be a fun topic. This is one that I have enjoyed going through and prepping. Just the sheer magnitude of what is encompassed in those two words, love and grace. So as we begin, I would invite you to join me in prayer. Most loving, kind, wonderful God, Father, Son, and Spirit, you were here waiting for us as we came in. You rode in the car with us as we traveled to this location. God, you spent the night with us. What an awesome thing to think about is you're always with us. And God, I ask that you would take this message, that you would share exactly what you have prepared for each one, that we can hear exactly what you have prepared for us. And God, it is such a blessing to know that you care, you love, and you've done everything for us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think about life, we often face challenges in this life, but if you could see my notes, you would see I scratched out the word often, because we face challenges in this life every day. And there's events, circumstances, sorrows which grieve us, others that tempt us. We never know what each day is going to bring. A phone call can change the entire day. And it has for some. But God was right there. He knew the situation long before we did. So those challenges are that. They are challenges, but we don't have to face them alone. And that is huge. And it's so easy to get swallowed up in our world that we forget that Jesus is right there. The Holy Spirit is right there. God is watching over us. It is good to take some time to reflect on the spiritual realities, which are true in Jesus Christ, as well as our deep need for all that He has done. What He has done, not us. And what He is doing, and what He will do in us by the Holy Spirit. And I thought to myself, do I take time to even reflect on that? Do I sit down and take a couple of minutes and think about all that God has done, is doing, and will do in my life? Or am I so caught up in a routine from retirement, a routine that I feel like I can't deviate? I don't have 2 minutes to spare. And that's just some of the things that came to my mind as I was looking at this. In reality, we have hope in Jesus. And the resounding thing, if you think about it, is yes, we do. We have hope in Jesus. What a gift that is to think about. Today's text, as was read from the Message, which had some things in it that I hope to address a little bit, but I will be using the New Revised Standard Version, the updated. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And this is the epistle reading from the Revised Common Lectionary. The Revised Common Lectionary puts together on a weekly basis an Old Testament scripture, a Psalms scripture, an epistle, and a gospel. And from time to time, you will hear one from the gospel. Today, it's from the epistle from Paul. So this reading of Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. You were dead through the trespasses and sins. Trespasses literally can be, in today's understanding, slip-ups. We just slip up. We make a mistake. Sins are more, we just missed the mark. We just flat didn't get there. So you were dead through the trespasses, the slip-ups, and the fact that we just missed the mark, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, and that is Satan and his demons. That's where we get tripped up at. That's where we once lived more than we hopefully do today. It's more of a, we once were there, and hopefully we don't live there. Following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. That's the world we live in. Satan has not been displaced yet from that role. It's done deal that he's, but right now he's still the prince and the power of the air and the earth that we walk around and live in. And it creates the world we exist in. Verse 3, all of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, doing the will of the flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else, living a self-centered life. We all are familiar with that. We see it every day. There's times I catch myself in that and think, no, that's not what needs to be. We have all been dead in trespasses, slip-ups, sins. We have fallen short of the mark, not reflecting Jesus to others. As a result, every human being was facing the consequences of God's immeasurable love, poured out in redemption, correction, and restoration. Two words changed everything for us. But God. Verse 4. Paul doesn't leave us here. Paul gives us an incredibly good news. So listen to what Paul has prepared in this epistle. But God, who is rich in mercy, and out of the great love for which he loved us, in verse 5, even when we were dead through our trespasses, old way of life, those mistakes that we lived with, made us alive together with Christ. He took us in. He took that. He didn't leave us in that self-centered, broken world, controlled or guided by Satan. But he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Grace is an undeserved favor. It's a present. It's a gift. It's a done deal. We live in the reality that Jesus has saved us. And the amazing thing is, it's not because of anything that we have done. If we start quantifying that, okay, I'm going to follow these guidelines and I'm going to do these things and we check them off and we do that, all of a sudden it becomes a transaction with God. I do this, you do that. I do this, you do that for me. That's not what God gave us. He gave us a gift. He gave us the reality of what he wants us to be. Paul continues by reminding us of the very nature of God. God is rich in mercy. Do we ever just stop and sit down as we're going through different events and think how merciful God is in our life? God has great love towards humankind. It doesn't say us. It says humankind. God loves every human being. And I got to tell you, there's some of them that I struggle with. But God loves them. It's not my place to judge. It's not my place to change. God will when it's hit that time. But he loves everyone. God is gracious. He has to be when he deals with me and you. He's very gracious. He loves us. He cares for us. He's provided for us. And he has saved us. In verse 6, and raised us up with him. God, through Jesus and the Spirit, has raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wherever Jesus is, we are there. He has brought us to be with him forever. So that in the ages to come, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus has done for us. He's brought us to him grace, undeserved favor. It's not based on what we've done or not done. It's not earned. It's given to us as a gift. For by grace you have been saved through faith. There's a lot of folks that question that statement. For by grace you have been saved. You can't earn it. You can't do works and then say, God, I've been doing these things. Then it's a transaction. As I've said before, God doesn't work that way. He cares about us. He loves us. He provides for us. And he has saved us by the actions of Jesus Christ. And so from that, we can acknowledge we are saved. And this is not on your own doing. Again, we can't do anything that says, okay, I've done this, now you need to give me that. Doesn't work that way. Gift is a thing willingly given to someone without payment. When someone gives you a gift, did you buy the gift? Did you pay for the gift? Did you do things that warrant the gift? In your workplace, if you did certain extras, there was a bonus that was put on your check. But you did those things. But if at the end of the year, you were given a gift, not based on any promotion, not based on any bonus things you did, you just simply were given a gift, did you receive it? Or did you say, wait a minute, I didn't do anything to deserve this gift? I think all of us took the gift or would take the gift. But it is something that we didn't earn. It was something that God, or a gift given to us in this case. You know, it's a gift, it's a present. And think about it, it's the greatest gift ever. Can you think of a gift that is bigger than being saved by Jesus Christ and what that future entails? The reality of that is given to us. Now, did it take us out of the environment we're in? Did it take us out of this broken world that is ruled by the prince and the power of the air? No. But we know we have a place, and that place is with Jesus. We are only saved by grace through faith. We cannot earn it. Verse 9. Not the results of works. It's not a transaction. So that no one may boast. In that environment, there's always someone that says, hey, I did this job better than you. I did more works than you did. I did things better. More of. Everybody, as a human, we end up trying to compare. But we don't have to. We can't boast. We can't talk about how good we've lived or how awful we've lived. For we are what he has made us. That's who we are. Jesus made us. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, One of the commentaries that I read was referring to, did this take us back to Adam when he was first created before the fall? He had a perfect environment, and he had daily walks with God. He didn't have any worries. Everywhere he looked, he could see God's creation and see how joyful and wonderful it is. You know, in this particular verse, that was one of the commentaries, is going back, created as a perfect human being. None of us exist in that world. As the man ended his comments, thank you, Adam. Yeah. Adam made mistakes. Which one of us haven't made mistakes? For we are what he has made us, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we may walk in them. This has been planned all along. We get to participate in that plan. As human beings, we are created to live in an other-centered, self-sacrificial, giving love. A lot of big words. The same kind of love that the Father, Son, and Spirit share, and we can boil it down to relationships. We were created for relationships with God and with one another. When you have a friend that is hurting, do you hurt? Do you want to help? Would you like to change their circumstances? Yeah, because they're your friend. There's a relationship there. You care so much for them. And it goes the other way. If you're struggling, someone, a close friend, comes by, puts their arm around you, and maybe you pray together, but you can, you co-depend on one another, but you ultimately are depending on God to take you in that situation. We are meant to be loved by God, to love him in response and to love one another. That's our life. That's what we're called to do and be. Is it a command? Jesus had to love God, love your neighbor. But he loves us even when we fail in that, because we've been saved already. It's there. It's a done deal. Our new life is in Christ, and it reflects his own way of being as he lives in us and through us by his Holy Spirit. We have the ultimate, Jesus Christ. Did we pick him? You know, we hear people say, I found Jesus. Really? You did? Jesus already was there. He found you. He found you in your world, in your life, and said, I love you, and provided things for you, and ultimately saved you by grace. As God's masterpieces, we daily reflect on the kingdom life God gives to us in Jesus. I hope we daily stop and think about that, that the kingdom of life, the future, today, this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, that Jesus has given us, what that is. We live in a world given over to the ways of God's adversity, to lust and desire of our human flesh. We are each easily tempted, distracted, overwhelmed by what we face day by day. As we go through this life, it's called the human existence. If you go out of your house and you interact with other people, even just in a grocery store, you will hear or see things that are not of God. It's just reality. It could be on the side of a bus going by on their billboard or something you see along the road. But you will hear or see this human existence that is designed to distract us and overwhelm us with what the prince and the power of the air is broadcasting. We know we live in that world, but we don't exist in that world without Jesus in our life. What struggles are you facing right now? And please, no hands. This is something that you may have words that you can't even express. Hurts that you can't express. Maybe a big, big unknown in what to do. Is there something pulling you down? Are you facing unbearable circumstances? And we do, from time to time, run into those situations. Do we stop and spend time sharing with Jesus those things? Do we take those things that are just consuming us? We go to bed at night, we can't sleep, we finally doze off, but when we wake up, that's right there, that's the first thought that hits our brain, because it is consuming who we are and what we do and how we function. But do we take the time to share it with Jesus? It is important to humbly go before the throne of grace to find time, to find that help in that time of need. This is from Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's a great place to start. Hebrews 4:16. When we need help, and I would venture to guess that we all do every day, in some form or another, we can go to the throne. We don't have to question, is it okay to go to God's throne? Is he busy? We don't have to worry about any of that. He tells us to come. We need to be reminded of who God is, the God who loves us so much that he gave his son. That's huge. When we think about, as we approach the upcoming season of Easter with the death of Jesus, the Father and the Holy Spirit were right there with Jesus in all of that circumstance that gives us that Savior. If we were to look at the Revised Common Lectionary today, the gospel reading comes from John 3:14-21. We are reminded that God's Son did not come into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's the message from John 3:14-21. Jesus came to save everything. God's intention, his motivation, his driving force is love and grace. That's who he is. That's the DNA of God, the love and grace, the gift. We can't earn his love. We can't earn grace. It's a gift given to us. The best thing we can do is to humbly go before Jesus, where we receive his healing, renewal, and restoration. But yet, sometimes we sit and go, I don't want to bother God. This isn't that big a deal for him. He's busy with world problems, eternal problems. No, he's not. It's all done. Jesus has come, and that saving grace has been extended to us. Maybe we go, oh, I can fix whatever my problems are. Can you? Many times they just get worse. They get bigger. If I open up and share it, it becomes real. Even if I open up and share it with God, this situation that I'm dealing with gets real. It's real before then. God knows before you share with him what it is. He's already got the answer. He's waiting for us. But he's in his love and his mercy and his grace. He extends everything we need. Why do we many times turn to Jesus as a last resort? And maybe I'm the only one in the room that has caught themselves in the middle of situations, and finally it's like someone slapping my head and saying, oh yeah, Jesus is there. He can hear. God is there. God's aware of my problem. But I've exhausted every human method that I can come up with, and it's still there. And then I remember to pray and to ask God. The simplest analogy or story that I can give is I've lost something. It's in the house. I know it's in the house, but I've lost it. And I've spent days looking for it, maybe going through boxes in the garage or in the basement. I know it's here. I know it's here. One of my daughters, when they were little, said, well, Dad, God knows where it's at. Ask him. Well, am I humble enough to do that? When you reach a point of, okay, and I do. And you know what's amazing? And it's always the child is right there looking at you when you find. And you look at him and say, yeah, God knows, and he showed me. That's the simplest way I can give that analogy, but it can be in huge problems we're dealing with. He's just as invested and just as involved in our lives for the big things as the little things. Let God be who God is, your Savior, your Redeemer, your Lord. We try and make God something that is unachievable for us. We can't do that. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is our Lord. The one who loves you, forgives you, and accepts you, and welcomes you back home. Home with him, welcoming us into his prepared environment for us. That's who God is. That's the one that we need to take time on a daily basis, maybe multiple times a day, and reach out and say, thank you. Or, I need some help. I need a lot of help. God is right there. Do you get an immediate answer? Sometimes. Do you get a maybe? Yeah, sometimes. But the amazing thing is, once you've shared it with God, with Jesus, it's in play. Somewhere along the line, the answer will come. The resolution will happen. It's already in play. Open yourself up to your Heavenly Father's love and grace, and then simply trust in Christ, the one who has saved us by grace. We didn't earn it. We couldn't buy it. Gift. And we have that gift that we can go to at any point, at any time, day or night. And he hears, and he does answer. As we think about Jesus, and we think about the communion meal that is in front of us, his broken body, the fruit of the vine. I want to read from Luke 22, 14 through 20. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He knew what was coming. They didn't. And he was eager to share this meal. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves, For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So as we come forward, as we partake of this communion meal, remember who gave us this meal, what that cost was for him, what the reality is for us. And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." And the new covenant is us being saved by grace from Jesus Christ, who has that ability and authority to do so by the very sacrifice of his life and resurrection, ascension. And God is still loving us, and he is going to come back. Jesus is going to come back. A little sidebar, I said that at the Bible club, and I saw some little kids, third, second grade, look at me, and their eyes got real big. He's coming back? Yes, he's coming back. Do we live our life knowing and appreciating Jesus is coming back? So as we partake of this meal, remember the things you've read about Jesus and his sacrifice. And I can only imagine what those disciples, apostles in the upper room thought that night. This was so different. But within a day, I have to believe they thought a lot about what Jesus said that evening, what we read about. And as he was crucified and died, they had to think back to this and his comment that before I suffer, they would have understood at that point what that meant. We can read about it and we read over it and it's fairly quick. This was something that played out over days. But Jesus is on the throne, and we are with him because he loves us and he cares for us. If you would join me in prayer. Again, Father God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, help each one of us to remember everything that we've learned of you. And God, we thank you that you have saved us. And we know that we make mistakes. We know that we fall short. But we also know that you have stepped in and saved each one. You have given us a way to remember Jesus through the bread and through the fruit of the vine. And God, I ask your blessing on the elements. And God, just help each one of us to internalize what you have for us. Thank you, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise you for the great things you have done. Thank you for providing salvation through Jesus. We ask that you will guide us through the week, giving us opportunities to share your love with others. Amen. And finally, from 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Have a great week.